Holy Spirit, we just, I'm asking for you now. I'm begging for you. We must have you here. We must have your insight. I feel you've spoken to us so strongly today. And I've prepared, and I'm prepared to lay it down. I already sense you're doing some different things. So have your way. Your servant's here. We're here. And we want what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a kid, I remember getting glasses. I went to school for kindergarten, and they do an eye test, and they sent a note home to my parents. And basically, in a nutshell, it said, Randy cannot see. And my parents said, how many fingers am I holding up? I'd say two. And they'd say, he can see. There's no problem. And then a few days later, they sent another note home. They said, no, really, Randy is blind. I said, how many fingers? Well, it turns out I have one eye that I had a problem with. And as I looked into it, I had amblyopia. If you may have heard of that. Lazy eye. Some call it lazy eye. And the eye doctor said it was the worst case back in those Stone Age days. It was the worst case that he had seen without someone being cross-eyed, without the eye pulling in. And I wasn't old enough to understand that, but today I'm saying, thank you, Lord. Randy, the cross-eyed preacher. If you're cross-eyed, I'm sorry. And so I got glasses. Kindergartner. Turns out some of our kids had to do that too, so I passed that wonderful thing on to them, apparently. But we prayed about genetics today, didn't we? We prayed this morning, breaking genetic ties. So anyway, I got glasses, and I don't ever remember. So I had one good eye and one eye that was technically legally blind. And I don't remember ever being teased, which is crazy because kids are so mean at school. I don't ever remember being teased because back then they didn't have the kind of lenses they have today where they can make them thin and all that stuff. I had one honking thick lens on one side. And I don't ever remember being called, hey, big eye, because I had a big eye because of that lens. You can see it in all of my pictures in elementary. Like, whoa, look at that big eye. I don't remember that, but I do remember the accolades I had on the playground. Because I was known as the ant killer. We had anthills on our playground. And, you know, you can take your glasses when the sun's out and concentrate. And I'm taking my glasses. I can take them out quick. And the kids are, whoa. These are just little known facts that you get to find out about me. But you know what? It's funny that's how the enemy works us. If he can get us to get our focus down on this, then we won't be able to see the big picture of what's going on. It's like the Wizard of Oz. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. Look up here. Christine Kane wrote this, and it really ministered to me. She said, when we magnify Jesus, we don't minimize the reality of our circumstance, our pain, our grief, hurt, or heartache. We gain the perspective we need to work through it and move beyond it. You know the old saying, he didn't promise to get rid of the storm, but his promise is to help you weather the storm and to come through the storm. He didn't move the Red Sea. He parted it so they could go through it, but there was still a Red Sea, and there was still a wilderness that they walked into. She goes on to say, magnifying the truth does not minimize the facts. It gives us the hope we need to move on. My title this week is, we need a new lens. We need a new lens. So I want to stop right this moment before we go further. Noel, you got all your folks here that are going? Come on up here. Come on up here. I'm afraid I'm going to forget if we don't do it now. And I certainly want to do it. Come up here and tell us where you guys are going. I think they're going to Olathe or Overland Park or something like that. This is Noel Alexander. Tell us who's going and where you're going.
Okay. In the year 2000.
Probably not. Yeah, it's on. Can you turn it on, Tracy? Okay.
In the year 2000, I was in Central East Africa and reading the Bible, and the word of God came to me from Isaiah 58, share your food with the hungry. And I've had a number of those experiences. The word exploded in my heart. And since then, we've been going backwards and forwards to Central East Africa in Kenya and sharing our food with the hungry. So the Lord has called us from Isaiah 58 to clothe, house, feed, educate, and evangelize the people in Kenya. We've done that, and we've had a wonderful time doing it. And on the 8th, which is Tuesday, Tom and Mickey and myself are going back to Kenya and going to do the stuff. We have a wonderful time. We've got about 1,000 people that we clothe, house, and feed every day. And Tom and Bina and their family have been donors, great donors to us over the past X amount of years. And we're just happy to do what we're doing. And so we leave on Tuesday, and we covet your prayers as we go, that we would be effective.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
And we're going to pray for them right now. Stretch your hands out up here. And when they get back, we're going to give them a chance to tell us more about it. I know more about it, but you don't. But it's called Love Mercy.
Love Mercy.
Love Mercy. So, Father, right now, we stretch our hands out. We declare that you go before them, that you know what lies ahead. You're not trapped in the same time, lineal time that we are. You know their beginning from their end, and you know what they're going to encounter, and you've already made a way. So we pray for the multiplication of everything that they do, everything that you've called them to do, everything they touch their hands on. We pray for safety, that they will go in a marked anointing on them, even on the planes, even in the airports, a marked anointing, because they are marked by you, God. And we thank you for the good report, the great report, the God report. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have anything? Turn the handheld back on, please.
I just hear the Lord saying that the song that we finished with tonight or today is what he is singing over you of right. himself. That he's a way maker,
right.
miracle worker, promise keeper,
yeah.
and light in the darkness.
Amen.
He goes before you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Just say one more thing.
Yeah.
I've crossed the Atlantic probably 40 or 50 times, and this trip is the first time we're going business class because of Tom and his family.
Oh, there you go. So are you saying you were always first class? And you had to downgrade? Oh, okay. All right, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. We need a new lens. So I want to help us. I want to do an exercise, okay? I want you to shut your eyes. And Tracy, I'm going to need sound up from this next one. I want you to shut your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to open them in just a moment. And look at the screen. All right. Open your eyes.
Count how many times the players wearing white pass the ball. The correct answer is 16 passes. Did you spot the gorilla? For people who haven't seen or heard about a video like this before, about half missed the gorilla. If you knew about the gorilla, you probably saw it, but did you notice the curtain changing color or the player on the black team leaving the game? Let's rewind and watch it again. Here comes the gorilla, and there goes a player, and the curtain is changing from red to gold. When you're looking for a gorilla, you often miss other unexpected events.
How many got 16 correct? Okay. How many did, be honest, did not see the gorilla? Okay. Now be honest. How many did see the curtain change colors? How many didn't see the person in black leave? How many were sleeping during that time because you haven't raised your hand for anything? Was that you? Sometimes I think we are so fixated on all the wrong things, different things, even when we're alerted to things. I love praying whenever I say, Holy Spirit, you do it. And then I say, how do you feel? Does it feel better? Raise your hand. Your hand, I was praying for your arm. Does it feel better? On a scale of 1 to 10, where's it at? Oh, it's an 8. And then we pray, Holy Spirit, do it. Bring it down. How is it now? It's a 5. All right, we're going to go for 1. Holy Spirit. And I'm not convincing him. I'm not talking to him. It's just a different lens than what I used to have. Because I used to have, oh, God. We're praying, we're asking, let it be your will, would you do this? And I'm telling you, the word is real clear about what his will is on things. It's just, we're looking through the wrong lens often. And I'm preaching to myself. When I do premarital counseling, I use a tool, an assessment tool. It's no right or wrong or whatever, but it's an assessment tool for a young couple or an old couple, it doesn't matter, to see where they might have some differences. And part of that assessment is rose color glasses factor. And it takes into account that when you're in love at this stage, you don't see things. Perhaps you have a little bit of a reality distortion. Last week, I don't know if I mentioned it in here, but pre-service, God showed me this little trick. Did I mention that last week? I'm going to say it anyway again if I did. He showed me this little trick. When we were in prayer, we have prayer every Sunday morning at 9:15 out here. You're welcome to come. It's for anybody. And we pray for one another, and we pray for today. But he showed me this old gimmick that I used to have because I was, you know, I'm an enthusiast of close-up illusion and stuff like that. I'm not even good at it. Actually, I know a lot of things, but I don't want to practice. If you don't practice, it's not any good. But I had this little gimmick. You can buy it at any truck stop. There's usually a stand of some cheap magic tricks, they call them, but they're just illusions. And it's a little red block and a penny. And you take this penny and put it on somebody's hand, and you take that block and you just wave that block over, and it magically turns into a dime. And the way it does that is that the penny's not a real penny. It's the shell of a penny, and it's hiding the dime. And inside of that shell of a penny is a piece of metal that a magnet can pick up, and the block has a magnet in it. The block rolls over it, picks up the shell, take it over here, slide that shell off into your hand, drop the shell on the table, they drop the dime on the table, and you get away scot-free. God said last week, had a word for me, and I believe it's still a word for us here at Lyft. He wants to remove the false shells that you've been trusting. He wants to lift them off and bring us to the true reality of who he is and who you are. You're not the shell of a man or woman that you think you are. You're his. And he wants to remove our distortion field from our vision, if you will, of ourself. Hebrews 11 says this. Remember, Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith. It talks about all these people throughout biblical time who by faith did this and by faith did that. And it's a great read. And there's some people in there that you wouldn't expect to be in there. A lot of women in there too, by the way, ladies. The Hall of Faith, it's a great read. I'm not doing that today. But the end of this Hall of Faith chapter of 11, it says this, verse 39 and 40. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. All of their acts of faith, this Hall of Faith, did not receive what had been promised because Jesus hadn't come. Jesus hadn't died. Jesus hadn't rose again. Jesus hadn't sent the Holy Spirit. Next verse, verse 40. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, oops, I went too far, didn't I? Oh, that was 40. That was all 40. 39 and 40, I'm sorry. And so there, everything they believed for and waited for is perfected now in us. So them plus us now proclaim. And that's what this therefore is about. Next. Therefore, because of that, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I have to tell you, sometimes I feel like I'm on a treadmill and I'm running, I'm not getting anywhere. It's like driving through Kansas. If you're from Kansas, I'm sorry. But it's pretty bleak out there in some places. Might as well be in western Oklahoma. Glad nobody said amen. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you understand that Jesus has sat down? He has sat down. He is done. I know we pray to him and we believe in him and we pray in his name and all that, but I want you to understand, he has sat down. It's like in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where the guy is trying to get he breaks out of prison. He wants his wife to take him back, and she says, no, I've counted to three. It's bona fide. It's over. Jesus has counted to three, and he has sat down. He has done what he was supposed to do. Does he love you? Yes, he does. Does he pray for you? Yeah, the Bible says he's interceding for you all the time. But I want you to know, now it's in your court, in my court. He said it'll be better if I go. Why would it be better? We love it when you're here, Lord. Because if I go, we got you. Well, that's not going to work. Don't worry. You'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses. Everywhere. At my house? Yes. Your family? Yes. My city? Yes. Your country? Yes. Your world? Yes. He has sat down the right hand of the throne of God. Later on, we find out that we have been seated with him. But I still feel like I'm here. Yeah, but the authority you have, the authority he's given you is not just, you know, carry it on. Do the best you can without me. No, it's like all authority that I have, I now give to you. Let me tell you something. We need a new lens. We really do. I like how the Passion Translation, paraphrase is what it really is, but how it says verse 2, says this. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. Sorry, blew that. Who leads us forward into faith's perfection. See, I like the contrast there. It's not just fixing my eyes on Jesus, but it's looking away from the natural realm. We are too natural because we're not natural people. We're supernatural people. We are supernatural beings. I'm not waiting for eternal life. I'm walking in it right now. I'm a supernatural being. I pray this often. I pray, Jesus, your super will go on their natural, because my natural don't cut it. Is yours? Ask my wife. My natural is not so pretty. I need his supernatural. I want you to turn to Matthew 14, but I'm going to set it up. I'm going to do a little piece, a little story, and it's from Jesus. This is Jesus. So it's not in red because red didn't show up very good. But in Matthew 14, to set that up, what happened right before that is John the Baptist is in prison. And bottom line is, he gets killed. He gets decapitated. His head is cut off. He sends word with his disciples to come to Jesus and ask, are you the one? And then Jesus tells them, go back and tell John. Now, you understand John's his cousin. He's known John. John saw him coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus said, you need to baptize me. He said, I can't even tie your sandals. He says, you must do this. And he baptized Jesus. And that's when we hear the heavens opened up in the mouth of the Father. The voice of the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. It was quite a demonstration. John the Baptist is in prison. Jesus answers to his disciples, says, go tell John that the lame are healed. The dead rise, the whatever. He named off. Go tell him. This is what's happening. Then he gets word that John has been killed. Lost his head. Matthew 14, starting in 13. When Jesus heard what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Now, Jesus in a boat, they're on foot, they're on the land. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He was human. Fully man. Fully human. That just boggles my mind that Jesus was a human. He could have just appeared as God's son and shared what he wanted to share, healed who he wanted to heal, and then died for us. But he did. He was born. He came out as a mucusy cone head, maybe. I don't know. He came out as a baby and had to go through all of that in unsanitary times, not like today. And he had to grow up. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn to talk. He had to learn to eat. He had to learn all that stuff. Human. And right here, when he heard what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Let me tell you something. I know I'm the pastor of this church. And I love people. I'm a people person. But there are some times when I don't want to be around any people. Sometimes I am grieved at myself. And I'm grieved for you. Jesus was a human. And I believe, I don't know, but I believe he was so grieved about John. And he said, I got to get away. I need to pray. I need to press in. Perhaps he was realizing his time too was coming very soon. Perhaps he was anticipating the gravity of the coming very soon days. Crowd saw him. They're following on foot. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. See, he had a different lens. Despite what he was going through, what was troubling him, what he needed, he put them first. Could have stayed out in the boat. Could have saw him and said, don't go that way. Let's go over here. We can beat them. They're on foot. But he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. You know what happened next as evening approached. So that means a day. All day this has been going on. Ministry time. Life and death for some people. Disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food. In other words, I'm hungry. Right? Come on. Wrap this thing up. Time to eat. Jesus replied, I like this. They do not need to go away. Excuse me? You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me. You know what the disciples needed? They needed a new lens. You know, here's the funny thing. This story is in all four Gospels. It's really the only one that's in all four Gospels. And here's the crazy thing about it. I can pray for you. I can pray for your leg. I can pray for your brain, Donna. I can pray. And I've seen some demonstrations, some miracles. I've seen cataracts fall off somebody's eyes in Mexico, on our Mexico outreach. I've seen a leg grow. I've seen people get healed. I've seen people be prayed for, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor verifies this healing has happened. But I have not seen anybody feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's so astronomically crazy. If you want to talk about a miracle, that's it. That's a miracle. I think this is in all four Gospels for a greater reason than just to have us have say, oh, what a cool thing he did. I'm going to tell you what. It was an unbelievable thing that he did. It's hard to even believe that that could happen. He said, bring it to me. Right? They need the new lens. I need a new lens in my life because I don't believe for a whole lot of unbelievable stuff. But he's the way maker, promise keeper, right? Did he promise? Are all his promises yes and amen in him? We need a new lens. As he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. He may have prayed some traditional Jewish prayer like, blessed art thou, O creator of the universe, who brings forth grain from the ground. He was prophesying what was going to happen to his own body, perhaps. He is from Bethlehem, which means house of bread. He is the bread of life, right? So he prayed. Then he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Well, we got the first 5 people, and 2 people got fish. They didn't get any bread. No, they all ate and were satisfied. The disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. You know, David Copperfield may have made the Statue of Liberty disappear, but he had never done this. I want you to understand the magnitude of what happened in this event. Jesus, who so desperately wanted to get away, spend some time with his father, he had compassion on the people. And in the middle of healing everybody, not just some people, everybody who came, he healed them. In the middle of that, they just wanted some food. Well, he doesn't care about food. He says, I am food. You don't need, no. He took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and fed. Look at this. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. And if you figure 2.5 kids and a wife, we're talking 20 to 25,000 people. Do that on an HBO special. Come on. I want you to think of the magnitude of who Jesus is. You see, his humanity was coming through when he wanted to get away, but his divinity was shining bright as the sun when he did that. Do you think people took note of that? I bet people sat there and said, this is the best bread I've ever had. What happened with the wine? God fed the Israelites when they were out in the wilderness, even gave them quail because they wouldn't quit complaining. Jesus. Can you imagine? It's unbelievable. We need new lens. Frederick Dale Bruner, in the book, The Church Book, said this: disciples should always count to 8. 5 loaves, 2 fish, plus Jesus. You're stopping your count too early. You'll declare every other factor in your life, but the Jesus factor. Ask God to either give you a new lens or wipe off the fog from the one that you have now to realize that nothing's impossible for him. 12 baskets. Listen to this next part. Jesus immediately made the disciples get into the boat. He made them get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Finally, I can get alone. Finally, I can get with you, Father, because I am grieving. This is just my interpretation. I am grieving for John. And I know the day is coming. And I need to spend some time with you. I poured myself out all day long. I fed him. What a miracle it was. But, oh, I need to spend some time with you. You know why? He needed his lens clear. He said, I only do what my Father says. I say what my Father says. He prayed a prayer in John 17. He says, I pray that they would be one like you and I are one, Father. What a cool prayer. He's basically saying, I pray they'll have the lens I have with you, that they'll have that lens and that relationship with you. Later that night, he was there alone. He wasn't alone. He just wasn't with the disciples, right? You're not alone either. Some of you need to get alone with Jesus and Holy Spirit. You need your lens clean. Or ask him to give you a new one. Expand your lens. Maybe give you a higher power than what you have right now. Or maybe sometimes people, their eyesight corrects better and they get a lower power. No wonder they can't see. My glasses have been too strong. Later that night, he was there alone. The boat was already a considerable distance from land, about 2 to 3 miles, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. You want to know something interesting? Jesus is on a mountain, and he can see a storm. He's up high. He can see there is a storm where that lake is. He sees it. He knows what's going on. He made him get in a boat. Could he not have said, oh, it's going to be a storm? Don't take the boat. We're going to hunker down here tonight. No, he sent him off on the boat to go to the other side. I think he wanted to get him out of the way so he could go do what he needed to do. But he saw that storm. He knew it was there. He sees your storm. He knows you're in it. You're not in it alone. Well, if I could just see him or hear him. Hey, he sees it. He knows. Shortly before dawn, all night long they were out there fighting that wind. Skip one. Nope. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. There was a lot of baggage that they had in beliefs, belief systems, and especially concerning water and storms and waves and all that stuff. If you weren't right, you know, you would find yourself in trouble on the water. So it's kind of a natural thing, I guess, that they would say that. Kind of freaked me out if someone was walking up or walking up. One of the gospels says he was intending to walk by. He was going to pass them. What? Hey, what's up? That ghost just said, what's up? But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. I like how the Amplified says, take courage, I am. I am. Stop being afraid. I am's on the scene. Hey, I am is on your scene. Of course, you know Peter. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Then Peter got out of the boat. Don't you know the other disciples are going, what are you doing? Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Now, I'm not going to go into extended teaching all this. You've heard plenty of sermons. And some of them just probably aren't true. So I'm not going to go there. They might be. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. There is a verse in Ecclesiastes 11:4 that says this, he who observes the wind, and this is the Amplified, and waits for all conditions to be favorable, will not sow. And who regards the clouds will not reap. You see, if you're waiting for all the stars to line up, so to speak, that's too long. When it's time to step out of your boat, you need to step out. When it's time to trust him, he gives you an open lens, a clear lens that perhaps that's holding me back. Then it's time to step out of that boat. We are a people, I am too. We are a people. I have weather apps on my phone. Cups, multiple ones. And I will look at it and I will see. I will check the week. I will check the hourly. It tells me the percentage of the chance it's going to rain each hour. I have one app that will actually alert me. It's going to rain in 20 minutes. We have become obsessed, in some cases, with the forecast. And have you figured out that they really don't know what it's going to do? They just think they do? I mean, if I was going to be a weatherman, it'd be Hawaii. Well, it's going to be beautiful. Or Florida. If you were in Florida, you could say, well, it's probably going to rain today, but other than that, it's going to be really muggy and pretty. Get out there and get leathery. Those who observe the wind and wait for all conditions to be favorable will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Jesus saw that storm. He knew that storm was there when he commanded him out there. He wasn't worried about that storm. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? Perhaps he was saying, 5 loaves, 2 fish, 12 baskets. Hello? Why were you worried? Because they needed a new lens. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Do you know that this had happened before with them in a boat? And Jesus was sleeping. And they woke him up, said, man, we're about to die. What's going on? And he's like, what is the matter with you? And he rebuked the wind and or whatever he did. I don't know how he did it, but it died down and it quit. What's more important to me than him, the wind obeying him, was the fact that he was asleep in the storm. Some of you are losing rest. You're losing your mind over situations that you have no control over. He wants to give you a new lens. Trusting him. Come to him. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me. We need a new lens. Say this. I need a new lens. And I need it today. 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and they were a mess. This place was a mess. And he was bringing correction. He was bringing affirmation. He was trying to help them with a few things. And this is truly I'm about to close here. He says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. I am believing for a return of God's power to his church in America because we have found ourselves resting on a lot of wisdom, good wisdom, a lot of good stuff, a lot of good stuff. But the power of God changes everything. It really does. He does. One word from God changes everything. I hope you hear your one word today in the things that I'm saying. But then he goes on, he says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I would say we could say that about our time right now. Not all the rulers of our age completely understand what's going on and who God is and what he's about, or they wouldn't do some of the things they're doing. They wouldn't. I'm praying for the fear of God to be restored. Not, oh, I'm so afraid, you're such a meaning God. No, the fear of God that's in awe, that's in wonderment of the fact that he can do anything and wants to do anything, and that he would want to do it through me and in me and for me. That's a fear and trembling type of thought, isn't it? See, if you don't think that, then you won't fail. See, that's why sometimes people don't pray for things. And they certainly don't pray and ask him. Because if you pray and ask him, and then you wait, and you don't hear anything, then somehow you've failed. At least you think you have. But what if you do? What if you do hear him? What if you ask for that impossible thing, and he does it? What are you going to do then? As a matter of fact, I'll bet you everybody in this room, anyone that's been saved for any time whatsoever, you've had a relationship with Jesus Christ for any time whatsoever. There was a time when you knew that you knew that you knew that God had just used you in a profound way. And you knew that wasn't you. He's like, whoa, that wasn't me. Right? You knew. And if you'll be honest with yourself and you'll be honest with me, aren't you really trying to get back to that place where you know that 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 he just did something and it wasn't you? Don't you want to be known by him and to know him on a different level than you are right now? You need a new lens. I need a new lens. You can hear some of the best preaching any day of the week, anytime. You can go home tonight and hear a message that just knock your socks off. You can. Teaching, information, wisdom, that's no problem. But I'm going to tell you, God wants to move you into a realm of power. Power and purpose. Believing that all things are possible, no matter what the circumstances are. No matter what I'm going through, he is doing something in me through it. As a matter of fact, why would you want to go through what you're going through and not get everything that God wants you to learn and get out of it? So you can come do it again? You need to take a stand. Say, I need a new lens. You need to take a stand and say, I'm going to garner everything you have for me, God, in this season right now, in this adversary, this adversity right now. I'm persevering. You have a plan. I'm part of it. And I'm not giving up, letting go for nobody and for nothing. Nothing's more important. It's funny how people who we spend our time, our lives, getting stuff, doing things. We work, we get paid, we buy things, we buy clothes, we buy nice things. We love our family, our kids, our grandkids, all that kind of stuff. It's so funny, though, when you get that diagnosis, it's like, none of that matters. It's funny, all that effort, and none of that matters now. Man, I need a healing now, God. How about we move into that realm before that happens? How about no matter what you're facing, we say, Lord, I got a new lens. You can do all things. I can do all things. Because of that, because of Christ, goes on to say, however it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. This is referring back to Isaiah. These are the things God has revealed to who? Us. Was it just talking about them back in that time? No, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. What Spirit would that be? Holy Spirit, it's capital, right? For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, capital S, who is from God, right? So that, look at this, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. I don't understand it all. It's a good thing. His ways are not my ways. But I want you to know something. My mom would always say, God moves in mysterious ways. You know, that's not in the Bible. Let me tell you, it might have been that way. But it's not that way now because I'm his. I'm his child. And not only am I his child, he came to live inside of me. He lives inside of me. And guess who is not baffled by anything I'm facing? And that's Holy Spirit. Who guess who is not going, oh, Father, would you please show Randy and I what we need to do? It's like having the cheat sheet to the test. He lives in you. Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Are you out of your mind? Yes, you are. You are. You need the mind of Christ. You need your mind renewed. You do that by getting in the Word. You do that by praying. You do that by coming together corporately with other believers. You do all that. But above all of that, you've got to accept, get your lens out, wipe it off and say, I have the mind of Christ. I have you, Lord. How? How? Well, because Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. John 14, 16 and 17. That he may be with you how long? Forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Does that mean we're going to have Holy Spirit when we get to heaven? Yeah, it does. Whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Next verse. Look, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you some things and bring your remembrance to some of the stuff I said. No! He will teach you all things. Bring to remembrance all that I said to you. That's the key phrase there, all that I said to you. If you're not in the Word, you don't have a whole lot for him to remind you of. You got to start reading it for yourself. I don't care what translation you get one you understand. We'll correct you later when you got the bad one. Get into Word, because you ask Holy Spirit if you're not asking Holy Spirit to talk to you when you're reading the Bible, that's why you're going to sleep. Sometimes I ask him to help me when I'm reading, I still go to sleep. But I believe he can speak to me in my sleep too, because I ask. In that day, you'll ask nothing of me, but you ask my Father in my name, and he will do it. You see, he is not as concerned. Father God's not as concerned about all of our calamity, because when he looks at you, he sees Jesus, and he knows ain't nothing Jesus can't do. He's aware. He's aware of your situations, but he's like, good. It's Jesus. He can handle that. No, it's Randy. No, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. How about this? John 15, 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. How can he do that? Because Holy Spirit is our new lens. He is the lens maker, the way maker. He's the lens crafter. Come on. Come on. Ephesians says that he can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what I can think, dream, or imagine, according to the power that works in me. Come on. We're not dreaming big enough. You're putting it aside. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too short. I'm whatever. I'm too young. Whatever. Come on. You have the mind of Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're the head only and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You're more than a conqueror through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Come on. Come on. We're going into a season here, a new season. But it's just the season of God, because his mercies are new every morning. They're closing on this building potentially on Tuesday, and potentially we're moving. And I let that bother me. But I didn't start this. I didn't pick this place. I didn't pick you. And you're probably saying, and I didn't pick you either. But I know this, God is not done. And the same Father that supplied this will supply something else. Because this is dynamic. This is a reality of Christ in you, your hope of glory. This is a new lens for me. I feel like I was born again when Lyft started. I thought this was past, this was the promised land. I thought we'd walked into the promised land when we started this. Now I'm realizing, nope, we've been a little bit of a wilderness for a while, and we've yet to come into our promised land. But it's coming. And I need people around me. I need people encouraging me and helping me that have their lens of possibility, that have their lens of the miraculous, that have their lens of I am who I am and who God says I am. Jesus said, stop, I am. You know what? It's time for you to tell the devil, stop, I am is here on this scene. I want you to stand up. Father, I pray for every person listening to my voice, and I am declaring with just a holy fervor that no longer will we be tricked, deceived, that the shells of falsehood would fall off of our lives, that we would begin to put a demand on your anointing, that we would begin to answer the question, do you see what I see, with a resounding, yes, I do. Do you hear what I hear? Yes, I do. Are you going where I'm going? Yes, I am. I think Kathy shared a vision that she had of Jesus on a horseback. Was it you, Kathy? Jesus on a horseback? Okay. And he's on this horseback, and he's going, and there's dust. It's like, come back. No, come on. Come on. We're moving. We're on the move. I used to make fun of Pastor Willie George's church in Tulsa, make fun of the name Church on the Move. It's Church on the Move because I thought, well, I hope it doesn't move before I get to church today because I only know that one place. But you know what? We should be a church on the move because God's on the move. He's on a big move, and he's looking for places just like this, just like this house. He's looking for houses just like this that will just simply believe it and believe him and declare it in this earth, right? Lift your hands up. Use me, Lord. Holy Spirit, give me a new lens. Help me to see the way you do. Help me, Lord. Go ahead.
Tonight, I know there's a football game. It's cool. I'm excited for it. We're not going to do an extended time. I think game time is like 7:20. It's all good. It's all good. You got DVR. It's all good.
I have one at my house.
I've been holding off on saying this. I haven't even said this to the worship team, and I'm not sure why. I just felt, but I feel I'm supposed to release that here. We're going to. Like God, we have the mind of Christ. We feel like God is giving us new songs, and that tonight is a night that we're supposed to actually press in to that. So we're going to do something. I feel like God's given me a little bit of a plan that includes the people that are with us here. I believe we're going to write a new song.
Amen.
And it's not just going to be somebody. I told the worship team a while back that God's going to give us songs that we're not going to have enough room on the copyright to put everybody who's
put
written. It's just going to have to say Lyft.
Yeah.
And I believe that we're supposed to press into something like that tonight, that there's some new songs that God wants to give us, and there's a little bit of a thing that he wants us to do tonight. Man. To begin to do that. So I just want you to know that it's a new day. It's a new day. And there is a song There's a sound coming from this house that is a song of faith, but it's a song of the awe and the fear of the Lord that is rooted in the love of the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's being released in this house.
It's a song of release. So, all right. Well, God bless you.